tuned to 96.3 FM. And this is Baffert Spears Broadsides, twice weekly civil rights programming for folks outside, folks inside, and folks generally concerned with eroding civil rights in Santa Cruz. Stay with us for the next 2 hours.
I'll be your host.
My name is Robert Norris.
You can call me Baffert Spears.
Welcome to Baffert Spears Broadsides here on 96.3. We're beginning a little early, always trying to get the jump on the gun. I hope we haven't preempted some of our usual standard listeners, but, well, let's just begin. Now, you're talking about, I know that 6 months ago you spoke to us about your campsite being shot over out in the Poganip, and Sergeant...
Recently, somebody said that they were out pinging away with guns on the north side.
And do we know any details? Like, was it night? Was it day?
It was just somebody, man, off the cuff mentioned in a conversation I had to be here.
Right.
And if I can get another witness to collaborate, I certainly will give it to you.
Well, I'm recalling that story. It was in early June that this happened, and you said that there were three campsites, two others, including yours, that got shot over as these people shot from the highway.
Early May, early June, and they just drive by shooting. Just, wow, it was peppered over our heads, fortunately.
Now, Sergeant Baker asked me to direct him to the person who had reported this to you, and I said, no, I wasn't interested in doing that because you are interested in remaining confidential. But you said that several days after this shooting incident, I believe his name was Stan, maybe I'm mistaken, one of your friends was actually beaten up at one of those campsites?
Yeah.
Or Steve, I'm not sure.
Bill.
And is he returned to town? Is he still around?
He's in town, and he stands down in front of the lawyer. He was here this morning, and he stands down in front of the Lorenzo. He didn't want to get into the interview, but I'll ask him again.
Good. You got my flyers. You got the 423 Huff number. I'll be playing this on Free Radio Santa Cruz probably on Sunday. So feel free to, and it's on the schedule in case you want to listen in.
Okay.
Anything you want to add?
Not much that I can add. It just seems like all of a sudden it runs in cycles, and in the early spring and the late fall, there seem to be, I hear more cases of people being harassed for kids. Just this time it's just four or five people. I know that the guy will talk to you. If I get a hold of him, I know that he'll talk to you.
Cool. Well, good. Have him call me, or else if I'm still around, have him talk to me. Thanks. And that was an interview out at the Homeless Services Center about a week or two ago. The man, Bill, never contacted me, and that was nonetheless, we try to catch what information we can. I was out at the Homeless Services Center tonight, very cold night, there for the armory pickup and also to distribute some flyers. And there's also a meeting going on at the moment, today, December 16th, as we speak, of the Homeless Services Center Board of Directors, on which sits Councilmember Byers, formerly Mayor Byers, sits on that board. This is the mayor whose key vote has stopped any decriminalization of sleeping, stopped any expanded shelter, stopped any kind of reconsideration of the downtown ordinances throughout the last year while she's been mayor. And I call her Sleeping Band Byers, and I suppose that's really appropriate in spite of her gentle demeanor and her kind of grandmotherly air. I've come to regard her recently as the wolf in sheep's clothing. And the Homeless Services Center Board was having its meeting out there. I dropped off a Huff member, Becky Johnson. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, Huff member Becky Johnson. She was conveying some complaints about the Homeless Services Center to that board of directors, which is composed of judges, merchants, police, and I speak with a certain, is there a disdain in my voice, skepticism perhaps, because of the fact that this board has never taken a position, for example, against the sleeping ban. In spite of the 30 to 50 assaults, it came out with some little prefabricated statement at the end of the summer, but didn't ask for safe zones for homeless people, as, for instance, the Homeless Issues Task Force did at the last meeting of City Council on Tuesday. And more about that as we go through the show. Anyway, as I was out there giving out flyers, everybody seemed pleased to get them pretty much, except one man who looked at me angrily, tore the flyer into four pieces, and said, "They came after me, man. They came after me after the interview," something to that effect. And what that meant was that he was retaliated against for speaking on Free Radio Santa Cruz about something that happened to him. Unfortunately, I'm not sure what interview he was speaking of, but there is always that risk for those who are on the air, and usually people know that, and I tell them about that. Looks like an incoming call. Let's see what we got here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Free Radio?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can.
David Silver here.
Hi, David.
Yeah, it's time for the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban to reform itself. We need to call a meeting, and if I'm going to, I got my police abuse settlement.
Well, tell us about that.
Because I'm Medi-Cal, I have till December 31st to spin it down, so I've cleared all my...
Hey, my dinner schedule is open, David.
I'm taking you out to dinner, but also I want to be able to say that, hey, anybody out there that wants to see this thing happen, match me $500.
Wow. So let's kind of do a couple things. First, let's talk about this. You're talking about this.
I'm in the cold at a payphone. I'm on my way to a potluck for HIV positive men.
Okay.
It's the last time I get to see these guys before I do my move, and I'm in the middle of moving actually. But I just want to cut to the chase. Yeah, you want to know about the settlement?
You can talk about it if you want. If you're cold,
yeah,
you want to call
cool
us another time.
I'm cool to talk about it. Basically, it's three things. One. The police are required to do a training, and the training will include the video of me being pushed, and Sergeant Crane will have to explain how to all new police officers and all existing police officers how that is improper.
Let me briefly remind our listeners that you're the man who was running for the city council in 1996.
Yeah, I was a candidate, and I was not part of a demonstration. I was there as a witness standing along with other candidates.
And there was a demonstration at city council that involved people peacefully, but very, very visually, vividly.
Even the people that were using,
they chained themselves to some of the furniture, and then you went forward to give to make sure the petitions that had been dropped, and you weren't part of the protest, be given to the clerk, and you were...
I just picked them up off the floor, man, just like a citizen should.
And
I walked over to the other citizens, and they singled me out. They basically took me out of the election. It was the police acting political, and that's the way the referee saw it when we were in mediation. So I got $20,000, but the $100,000 value was the police training. I had to write off $100,000 to get the police training.
Really?
And if they don't do the police training in 1 year, then I get that $100,000.
And
they have to show the video of me being pushed, and every single police officer has to see it over the course of this year, and Mandy Crane has to explain why he was wrong.
Well, I hope they don't put your picture on the targets and in the range
I'm going to try to get in on that training to explain what I did wrong. I cursed and yelled after I was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I ever did wrong, and I already apologized for that the very next week. Then the other thing was because, I was concerned about the stability of my knee. As a matter of fact, I fell down just coming out of the Free Radio the other night because I tried to run across the street. I can't even run across the street. I don't have stability in my knee. So I got a 3 years gymnasium to help build up my quads so I have stability.
Mm-hmm.
And the $20,000. That's the 3 points of my settlement. I'll go into more detail later, but right now I really want to push that I have to spend this money before December 31st. So, I like to give $500 to a community appeal segment if there's going to be such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get everybody mobilized here real fast at a time when it's really hard to mobilize people, Christmas time, and I'm moving. So anybody out there that wants to, we got this sleeping ban initiative already rewritten. It's sitting on the shelf. We can refile it and have a whole 6 month period. And I think that we can do it this time. I think we had we got Slow Gherkin promised to do a fundraiser for us. So we can have a, you know, actually have some money up front. I believe we should have money up front to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go for it, you know, because it doesn't look like this council is going to do it. And if they don't want it to be an issue during the election, well, just too damn bad, because it's going to be on the ballot when they're running for city council.
Well, David, perhaps when you're out of the cold, you can give us a call again and talk some more.
Okay, good luck, Robert. I'm listening to you on the radio until I fade out down by Watsonville.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Dead On David Silva. David has been fighting to repeal the anti-homo sleeping ban law for, you know, since 1996 at least.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, thank you, Robert. It's Merlin.
Hi, Merlin.
Hey, it was my show, David Silva. What's this about? He got attacked after my show?
You know, I don't know. I think he was... I don't think he said that. This is an incident that happened 3 years ago. David Silva was thrown into a pillar by Sergeant Crane.
Right, he mentioned that Tuesday.
Right, and he, I guess he recently got a settlement after 3 years in court. And
but he didn't get attacked after my radio show last Tuesday. He was on my show.
That I don't know. You talking about Slow Gherkin or David Silva?
David Silva.
Right, well, I would like to attack Slow Gherkin. As I recall, 2 years ago, they were supposed to do a benefit for the sleeping ban repeal at the very last minute, they were supposed to, they pulled out.
Well, David just mentioned he'd like to have them do a benefit for them, and I have no doubts that they probably, you know, I think there's a good chance that they will.
Good. Well, let's always cross our fingers and hope that these big boys will show some respect and keep their commitments. So, and what's with you, Merlin? I know that you've been doing some, I don't know if you want to talk about your situation, because you've gotten the shaft out there in the trailer park, and you and your mom have been having kind of a hard time. Maybe this isn't the place to discuss it. I don't know what you're feeling.
No, it's not, because we're going the same path as David Silva has. But I don't want to talk about that.
In other words, you're filing a lawsuit, and we'll be talking about that later on, hopefully after you've won your settlement.
Yeah.
Well, anything you want to say on Free Radio?
Can I have a minute?
Sure.
I'd like to tell everyone to listen to my Christmas show next Tuesday from 4 to 7. Is it okay?
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to be with Vincent's Ear, and the devil himself will be there. I know not many people are hip to this, but we're going to have The Digging of Darkness and Astral Anna, and Hombre Bala from Corador will be there, and hopefully next Tuesday from 4 to 7 on 96.3 will be a good show. And I'd like to invite everybody down to the Catalyst this coming Saturday, because it's going to be RX Bandits, Cara Dura, and Slow Gherkin. And Slow Gherkin, listen, Robert.
Yeah.
Slow Gherkin, Vincent Sear, KS Lounge, and Cara Dura are going to be all on March 3rd at the Vets Hall.
Doing
for a 96.3 benefit.
That's good.
For Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Okay, well, maybe they
in
can
the main auditorium.
Maybe they can keep their commitments to the homeless this time as well.
I'll talk to him about that.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.
That's that madman Merlin. He's got a show, as do numerous other disc jockeys here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you're looking to find out a Free Radio schedule, you might wander on over to the Rise Zone. That's a kind of a clearing center for a lot of forward-looking organizations here in Santa Cruz. It's at 224 Walnut Street, usually open from 1 to 7 during the day, though holiday hours are uncertain. And you can probably pick up a schedule if the Free Radio Xeroxers have got some in the open bins for people to look at. I've been asked about schedules recently, and I think folks want to know what comes on when on Free Radio. My show, of course, twice a week, 6 to 8 on Thursdays, as of the moment, and also on Sundays from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Right now, without my bathrobe, I wish I had it. I'm feeling cold. That winter air is nipping away. Time to get a coat. Call-in number here, in case you want to join the merry discussions, do a little Christmas caroling or anti-Christmas caroling, as the case may be, 427-3772. Voicemail, in case you want to get in touch with Free Radio and maybe become involved and don't want to be on the air, 427-4523. 427-4523. Phone number for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with that is concerned about restoring civil rights to homeless people, is, appropriately enough, 423-HUF. 423-HUFF or 423-4833. So, with all that in mind, let's check out this interview.
You're a newcomer in Santa Cruz. Your name?
Laurel.
Laurel, you're new in Santa Cruz. And how long did it take you to find affordable housing?
5 weeks.
And how affordable is your affordable housing?
I'm barely making it. I've got 3 part-time jobs, and I still can't make my rent.
How much is your rent?
My rent is $4.25, and I share it with 3 other people.
Now, what's your average wage at your job?
$7.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's sickening.
So what do you think about a law that makes it criminal for homeless people to sleep?
It's not shocking in this day and age, but in this area, I thought the reason why I moved here is because I thought it was more liberal, progressive, that there was a beautiful vibe up here, a sense of community. And to find out that this is happening makes me really sad.
Thank you.
Really sad. But you know what? It just wouldn't surprise me, like where I'm from. I live in a very conservative area. I live in Riverside, California. You know, majority is Republican. But I'm really shocked that I didn't know that.
And you're eager to work to change this law.
I wish. Many laws. But it's pretty pathetic.
Okay, you moved up here because you wanted to go to San Francisco for grad school?
Berkeley.
What kind of work?
Social work. I'm a social worker.
You think this is a more compassionate environment?
This is more compassionate, because where I'm from, I'm near LA, and it's just, you know, we're talking, there's vanity, and people spend, you know, $5,000 on their breast implants, but, you know, we got homeless people sitting on the street, but I really like the vibe up here, and I can't barely afford to live here. I don't know if I'll even get to go to grad school, but the fact that homeless people get a fine for 50%,
hey, it's all for their own good. You know, it's going to help them get a job down the road. A girl, an individual, a food not bomb subversive from Sacramento, your name?
Rachel Effer.
And Rachel, what happened in Sacramento when your criminal behavior trying to assault the sensibilities of middle class people?
We had actually a lot of problems with the police and people sleeping, with people on the river being woken up with police boots on their chest and guns on the forehead.
And it's gotten worse.
And it's gotten worse. They're doing sweeps again, especially now that they built a new federal courthouse. They're doing the homeless sweeps again, and people are... There's a woman who got... She got a $250 ticket for stealing an orange. She picked an orange off of public property, and the police said she was stealing. She was homeless, and that's why they did it. How the hell is she going to pay a $250 ticket? When the sole reason why she stole the orange is because she was hungry, because she had no food, and she had nowhere to go. And they would not do that to Joe Schmo walking down the street. They did it because she was carrying a shopping cart. And she had a $250 ticket for picking an orange.
How long have you been a Sacramento person?
I just moved back down to the area, but I was living in Sacramento for 7 years, doing food not bombs the last 5.
I know Loaves and Fishes is under serious attack for its own meals. That's a group that fed people regularly. And I've been reading about nasty behavior in Sacramento in the last year by authorities. And of course, Food Not Bombs in San Francisco is now being arrested. On October 20th, there were 2 people arrested from Food Not Bombs in San Francisco. Yeah. For the first time in 3 years, they have begun arrests again. Your name again?
Rachel.
And Rachel, what's the answer to this? You say you did some work up in Sacramento fighting this. How did you do it?
We mainly did it by leafleting, you know, handing out flyers to people, being public. We served food on the state capitals. We put in permits. Anyone can have a rally at the state capitol. So we've had Food Not Bombs rallies. We had bands play, and they told us we couldn't serve food, so we served food from the trunks of our cars on the side of the road right next to the capitol.
How often did this happen?
We try to do it at least once a year, sometimes more, sometimes not as often.
So at least you get to eat once a year.
Right, well, we serve food at least once a week.
It's not the same diet, I think.
Yeah, we serve food every week, but this is like more trying to get into the public, because we serve food on Sundays when the town is pretty much shut down, unfortunately.
And now you're eager to engage in the same fight here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
while struggling to pay your rent, of course.
I don't live here. My little sister lives here home visiting. I live in San Jose. This is my little sister.
Do I get a hug?
We'll leave the radio lecture here at this point. One of the really important incidents of the last, affairs, I would call it, of the last 2 or 3 weeks, and actually it's longer than that, has been the behavior of the Homeless Issues Task Force, which I've called the Homeless Issues Task Farce at different times, but I've also recognize that it has, at some points, and particularly recently, taken the bit between their teeth and started to do things that actually might have some impact on embarrassing city council into taking some real action around decriminalizing homeless people, extending shelter, restoring civil rights to homeless people, and so forth. What happened, we're going to be actually playing the tape of the Homeless Issues Task Force at their last official meeting, which was on December 6th. At that meeting, they came up with a resolution. They had been giving resolutions to the city council and finding them ignored, not even put in the agenda packets of the council members, much less put on the agenda as action items. And so the council, I mean, the Homeless Issues Task Force just got fed up. And they decided what we need, and not just fed up with how the council was treating them, but how the council was treating the homeless population here. Because there has been an escalating cycle of violence against homeless people throughout the year, or I should say certainly an unabated pattern of private vigilante brutality against homeless people, continued harassment of homeless by police for life-sustaining behavior like sleeping, deaths. Five or possibly six homeless deaths. I'm getting different figures, but I know of five definitely in the last 3 months. And, of course, shelter space for less than 20% of the homeless population, even in winter with the armory open as it is tonight, where there are 100 spaces up there and I think another 60 on the floors of various churches throughout the county, or the North County. And the Homeless Issues Task Force just said, look, you need to suspend the sleeping and camping ordinances so that people can shelter themselves with a tent if they need to on public property, provided they're not violating other health and safety concerns, until such time as you set up real safe zones for homeless people in the winter to do that. I mean, it's common sense, it's common decency, it's probably a legal requirement if we ever got the federal courts to look into this as they did in Florida, although it has to be admitted that it's not only Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, that's also been, there have been settlements reached when it's been recognized that city authorities and police are engaging in social cleansing of a particularly invidious sort. So the Homeless Issues Task Force said, all right, we want you to go. They delegated representatives to go to Mayor Sugar the next day. He actually had been at the meeting earlier for the first time in his history. Keith Sugar actually came to a Homeless Issues Task Force meeting. And he sat through it and he kind of answered questions and he schmoozed people and, he seemed to be, interested and attentive. But when he was approached by Lucy Kenmitzer and Linda LeMaster and Doug McGrath of the Homeless Issues Task Force and said, we want you to at least put this on the agenda. We don't expect you to win with it. We don't expect you to get all the votes. We just want you to put it on the agenda for the last city council meeting of the year, December 14th, and have people talk about it. And they may vote it down. Let that be their shame. Let that be their disgrace if they vote it down. But at least have it there for the public to hear a discussion about. And you, sir, Mayor Sugar, advocate for it. Say, people have to have the right to sleep somewhere. Right now, 80% of them don't, and they face $54 sleeping tickets. And worse, because if you're a particularly vulnerable person, you can't sleep in a well-lit place for fear you're going to get a ticket. And therefore, you're the prey for people who are going around beating people up, as has been happening routinely throughout the year. As I said, I judge 30 to 50 assaults. Mayor Sugar, no, I could never do that. I don't have the votes. But however, if you run around and look for some money, I'll look for an extra bus to the armory. That doesn't expand the armory shelter capacity, but it makes it a little easier to get in the armory. And I guess one might say that if the armory shelter capacity is full, then there's a special bizarre provision of the sleeping ban that kicks in that says, oh, once the winter armory shelter is full, tickets will be dismissed. That doesn't mean they won't be issued. That doesn't mean cops won't come at midnight, wake you up, tell you to move on, give you a ticket. That doesn't mean won't continue to hide from the police. But bless their hearts, the city council said last year that once you get a ticket, if the armory shelter is full, then the city attorney will dismiss it. That's not what we asked for. That's not a proposal that makes a hell of a lot of sense. But it was one of those little bones they threw out because they weren't willing to deal with the hard issue of you don't arrest people for sleeping when they have no legal places to sleep, which any fool can understand, but the city council apparently, lost in its political ignorance, cannot. So Mayor Sugar, when presented by the Homeless Issues Task Force members with this proposal, and then the people just said, look, just put it on the agenda, Mayor Sugar. We don't care if it passes. I mean, we want it to pass, but we think it's a process of political education, which is going to involve a number of defeats. But if you put it on the agenda here at this Christmas time, it will. It's the best, most strategic opportunity for people to really consider it. And you're putting really the most pressure on those council members who are caving in to NIMBY pressures. Do it. Please do it. Sugar said, no way. So as a consequence of that, I and others, including some Homeless Issues Task Force people, started flyering and emailing and talking to the constituents of the city council that had these new three wonderful liberal council members, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, elected, sending out a lengthy flyer on the issue describing how Sugar was caving in without even starting any kind of leadership on this issue. And Sugar suddenly held an emergency meeting, a private meeting, but we got into it anyway, because you can't have three members of a city council meeting in a room and really keep it private. You don't have to notice it under the Brown Act. That is to say, you don't have to tell people 72 hours in advance, as you would if you had four members, but you have to keep it open if it's about public matters. They locked the door, but we knocked and knocked and knocked till they let us in. And actually, it didn't take a hell of a lot of knocking, but we hadn't heard about it. And at that meeting, the supporters of Sugar said, please, put this matter on the agenda. Why not? It's time. It's time. And they gave a number of other suggestions, like open up a parking lot for vehicular people to park their vehicles in safely at night without fearing tickets or harassment or midnight wake-ups or troll-busting attacks. And Sugar nodded, and Fitzmaurice and Crone were there, and they all nodded, but they would agree to nothing except Sugar's final statement at the end of the meeting was that on January 11th, a month away, because this is the last council meeting of the millennium, the last council meeting for a month, the last council meeting of the year, it was on December 14th, he would have on the agenda in January the entire report of the Homeless Issues Task Force, which he would have had anyway. They have a midterm report. It goes on the agenda. At least one would have thought it would have. And buried in that report will be this emergency proposal, which really, to have any significance, has to be acted on now, at the coldest time of the winter, at the time when people are most likely to pay some attention to the needs of homeless people, given the holiday season, given this great compassionate season of sharing, this commercial shuck that we get every year. But still, some people take it very seriously, and indeed, it is the coldest time of the year. Sugar refused to even agree to that. What he did say, however, was that at the next council meeting, which happened 2 days ago, and at that time was 2 days off, at that Sunday meeting, he said, if people at Oral Communications bring it up, I will comment on it. What people were asking, however, was don't just comment on it, put it on the agenda. Even though it would have to be an emergency item that would take five votes. Even though you probably couldn't get it on the agenda, you could talk about getting it on the agenda before the city council, and that itself would be an act of leadership. Mayor Keith Sugar would not do that. Instead, as I said, he said, well, bring it up at the public comment period, and after that, I'll kind of talk about it, but it won't be on the agenda, and it won't even be discussed as an agenda item. Well, Tuesday came. Tuesday night came. He cut off the last two speakers, one of whom was me, one of whom was a homeless man named Dan Hopkins, after twice extending Oral Communications to allow business people to speak, and then neither he nor any of his colleagues had a word to say about homeless people. Let me take that back. Tim Fitzmaurice, I believe, did talk about the armory and how he had, in his wonderful compassion, gone up to the armory, spent an hour up there for several nights, then seen the situation where people are up there without food from 3:30 in the afternoon till 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and actually after that, because what they get at the Homeless Services Center is old pastries and coffee. He was so shocked by what he saw that he brought $50 worth of food, and good luck for, and I meant good luck for him, but you know, good for him. I'm glad that a private individual who happens to be a city council member has a compassionate spot in his heart for 85 people who are freezing. Well, they're not freezing at the armory, but 85 people who have to trek up there at 3:30 in the afternoon, stay there, and then leave it in the freezing cold at 5:30 in the morning without any food throughout that period. He brought them food, and that's good. You know, fine. But did he bring them civil rights? Did he raise the issue of civil rights, even though he was a key vote last year voting against civil rights? No way. So it has to be said, though, Keith Sugar had nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing to say about the issue of the right to sleep, the issue of the right not to shelter oneself in the winter, All the things that he said he would talk about if it was brought up at oral communications, he did not. And for any of his supporters out there who have the ovaries or the balls to support him, as you have privately when you've talked to me, please get on your phones and explain this man to me, this wonderful super liberal. You see, we keep hearing about Mayor Keith Sugar that he's such a doll because a year ago he proposed that people not be given tickets unless there was a health or safety concern. A good idea, a good resolution, a good, not only a good impulse, he backed it up courageously by offering it as a law. But the minute he was batted down by then-Mayor Byers, he retreated into his cave like some sulky, wounded bear and has not been seen since. The man was told to shut up, and he did. And to me, that's not political courage. Now, Sugar and I get into arguments, because when I see him in public places, I call him out on these issues. He is, after all, the mayor. I didn't call him out generally when he was council member because, frankly, his proposals were the best on the council. So, you know, there was not much point in it. But now, as mayor, he is refusing to act. We have an incoming call. Hi, you're on free radio.
Hi, Uncle Robert. I got to get myself a car phone. Just stopping at pay phones is it's cold.
David hey, Silva.
You know, I did notice, however, at this December 14th meeting, that when businessmen had and developers had conflicts and so forth, they were willing to schedule a special January 4th meeting. It seems to me that that everybody should call 420-5020 and demand that the Homeless Issues Task Force request be also included in that agenda. If they can meet to resolve developers' conflicts, you know, and stuff like that, and it seemed like they responded to everything that anybody brought up or during oral communications except the homeless issues. Like you said, Tim Fitzmaurice was the only one that responded. And I'm you're breaking up on me, so I can't hear everything you're saying.
No, I haven't said anything yet.
Yeah, so...
on the radio, you mean. Yeah.
So everybody should call 420-5020 and demand that it be on that special session January 4th, at least as early as possible. Do the mid report, you know, January 11th, but let's have the special request January 4th. Also, since we can't trust them, I think maybe we should, like, issue the sleeping ban on January 5th, the day after they failed to do that. And also, could we use do you know if we can use a ride zone like December 30th to have an emergency committee to repeal sleeping ban meeting?
It's a possibility.
Because then I can open a bank account the next day. If I open a bank account on the 31st for the committee to repeal sleeping ban, I can, you know, can still be part of my spin down for my Medi-Cal.
Okay. Well, why don't we talk about it when you get back into town?
Okay. To invite people on your show to you know, to try to gather on the 30th. Bring two people. One person that is a volunteer that can carry a petition, and another person that has like $500 in their pocket.
Hey.
Okay.
Good. Talk
okay,
to you later.
Bye.
And that is the ever active David Silva. Apparently, has gotten a bit of a financial boost finally after 3 years of struggle. Actually, more than that. With the Santa Cruz Police Department, the city of Santa Cruz, and the courts around police brutality against him in the election campaign at City Council on September 10th, 1996. And I certainly support putting that issue, the issue that Mayor Sugar would not talk about on the last agenda, on the January 4th agenda. But I'm actually going further than that. I am urging people to call 420-5020 and say, call a special session, Mayor Sugar. Call a special session. It's time for you to take up this issue. All you need is 72-hour notice, and all you need is a single issue. You don't need anybody else even to be there. You can show up, and in fact, the session won't go forward if there aren't four people there, but you can still talk about the issue yourself. You have the option at any time as mayor to lead on this subject. You don't even need a city council meeting, for God's sake. All you have to do is go public. Show some guts. Show some sense. You have to model for other people. You have to be able to essentially do what you didn't do throughout the commission on the task force for the examination of the camping ordinance. This was the Byers task force group, Mayor Byers task force group last year that essentially wandered around in circles and ended up going nowhere on the question of the sleeping ban, making it legal to sleep somewhere in Santa Cruz. They found there was no magnet effect. They found that the much reputed idea that if you are allow people to sleep at night, that everybody from across the country and the world is going to come and sleep in your streets. It's so wonderful. By examining the cases in Santa Barbara, in Florida, in Eugene, that there was no increase in homeless people coming to town as a consequence of that.
That's what was found by talking to social service providers there. So that's probably the one thing that this endless task force to examine the camping ordinance, which examined until, of course, it all died when Mayor Byers announced, I'm not going to support any changes, and then looking kind of at council members Sugar and Crone, in essence saying, and you better not either. And, of course, even though they did come up with a few pro forma disagreements at the end, they never led the community to understand that it's okay for a public official to stand up and say, the right to sleep is a human right. The need to sleep is a human need. Let's get real. So I'm glad that David Silva is going to devote some of his financial resources to this idea. I myself, I'm not sure about the value of another sleeping ban repeal campaign, but I know that it could be an educational tool. I know that if it's the only thing going in the neighborhood, I'm certainly going to be supportive of it. And I encourage you to give a call to 423-HUFF to assist on this off-air, and to call in now to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Tell us what you think. 427-3772. 427-3772. We can talk about the issues of basic rights for people in winter and what the mayor is and isn't doing. I don't hear his supporters calling in. Come on, you guys. I know you tell me what a foul-mouthed fellow I am for calling out the mayor, our great ally, the great liberal. Why should I be alienating this fine fellow? You know, in fact, what I'm trying to do is appeal to him. And he regards this as some sort of massive ego trip on my part. In fact, it's just that I want him to address the issue publicly. You know, that really is, I think, the key thing. And I think that that's what we all have to do, all of us, is address this issue publicly. Let's go back to the Homeless Issues Task Force meeting of the 6th of December, where this issue was debated. You get to hear people talking about it, and it's kind of educational. There's a little bit of flack in here, and I'm going to kind of interrupt the tape at points so you can get some of my invaluable insights. And if people want to call in during this tape and they have something they want to say, I can also provide time for you out there to talk if you'd like to, because after all, I do want to hear you. That really is the best part of the show, when you say something. When I hear that there isn't just silence out there, but there are people really listening. Again, we're going back to the Homeless Issues Task Force meeting of December 6th. This was the meeting at which they voted unanimously, 10-0. There were 13 members, but three weren't there. 10-0 to direct the city council to say to them, you need to put on the agenda a resolution that says, end the sleeping and camping ordinances, suspend their enforcement until such time as there are safe zones set up. That's what you need to do. And you don't need to do it next year when our midterm report, or next, the millennium after the next one, or 2 months down the road, or when you have the votes after the next election. No. You need to do it, to try to do it now. And this was actually an appeal to Mayor Sugar. This was an appeal to the mayor, who has the power of the agenda. He can put it on, even if he gets shot down. He can put it on. In fact, any member of the city council can attempt to raise an emergency agenda item, and to their shame, none did on Tuesday, December 14th. Not Mayor Sugar, not Councilmember Crone, not Councilmember Fitzmaurice, not any of them. Let's hear a little bit of this Homeless Issues Task Force meeting.
Given the comments about Mayor...
This is the man who introduced the resolution. And I would like to give him a special commendation, because though he did not speak at city council meeting on the 14th, and I thought that was sad, he is the head of the Homeless Services Center. He is meeting tonight with the board of directors. He runs the Homeless Services Center. And unlike the previous director of the Homeless Services Center, Karen Gillette, he has been outspoken in opposing the sleeping ban. He has been outspoken in declaring the right for homeless people to decriminalize, for homeless people to have the right not to be criminals in public spaces. He has been present when Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meetings were actually held on the property of the Homeless Services Center. He has been militant about the right of homeless people to be able to organize. So there are some damn good things to be said about Ken Cole. There are also some criticisms, which you have heard on this show, and you will hear, and some rather severe ones, because he is, of course, the head of the whole structure there, and this is the same structure that had Robert Steffen, the man with the umbrella downtown on the bench on Pacific Avenue, three times arrested, served 90 days in jail for three acts of sleeping, Sleeping where? On the porch of the Homeless Services Center. They wouldn't let him sleep there, and they wouldn't give him a legal place to sleep. Instead, they called the police and said, move or be arrested. And he chose to be arrested and went to jail and took the jail as a shelter. And it's, you know, there's that whole side of the controversy. But right now, you're listening to the Homeless Issues Task Force, and Ken Cole is the man introducing that resolution that said, no sleeping ban enforcement until safe zones are set up. We want that on the agenda right away.
For me, as a member of the shelter committee and housing committee, based on those discussions, based on our findings, based on the mayor's comments, I would like to, without a great preamble, assuming we have all said it before about the lack of shelter, the fact that we have logs that have got people in a hopeless catch-22, given that it's cold and they're getting beaten up and there's not enough shelter, So given that preamble, I put forward a motion that the Homeless Issues Task Force requests that the City Council suspend enforcement of parking and sleeping laws and proceed to establish safe vehicular parking and sleeping zones. Some sort of preamble, if you're desirous to have a preamble. Set of context. The motion would be the Homeless Issues Task Force requests that the City Council immediately suspend enforcement of parking and sleeping laws, and then the Council should proceed to establish safe vehicular parking and sleeping zones.
And the person seconding it was the chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force, Linda LeMaster, who's also coordinator of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, a woman who's been homeless herself, a woman who did speak on Tuesday evening at the City Council meeting, which actually happened a week later after this Homeless Issues Task Force meeting that you're listening to, and who has been out there as well, and also under a lot of pressure from both bureaucrats and conservatives to pull in her horns. And to her credit, I think she's tried really hard not to, at the same time to do what she needs to do on the Homeless Issues Task Force. I've had some pretty harsh words for her, too, because she is in a somewhat bureaucratic position. But note, she seconds the resolution. The person who introduced it, Ken Cole, was the vice chair of the Homeless Issues Task Force. So the officials heading the Homeless Issues Task Force are saying to the city power structure, you cannot continue to criminalize homeless people. This is a significant action. And, of course, it is even more significant that Keith Sugar, the mayor, ignores it, in spite of all his liberal talk, and in spite of all the liberal talk of his liberal supporters. And, indeed, Chris Krohn as well. We didn't see Krohn come forward with any resolutions either to implement the Homeless Issues Task Force's resolution, because this, you see, is a taboo issue. But it's time that certain taboos were broken. Let's hear more of this discussion.
There was one part, though, that I wanted to just make sure I think it probably should be clarified, at least, which is the way you said, just sort of overall.
The voice you're hearing now is unfortunately that of Don Lane, who is the staff member of the Homeless Issues Task Force. This is a former mayor who was appointed behind closed doors by Mayor Catherine Beyer and City Manager Dick Wilson. Lane is a person who essentially, though he began as quite a liberal, sort of similar to Sugar, and himself, like Sugar, this is an interesting parallel, introduced a resolution back in 1989 to find safe sleeping zones for homeless people. When he didn't get any kind of votes for that, like Sugar, he disappeared beneath the waves on this issue and became silent on the issue. He wasn't mayor, he was just a council member, so he had less excuse than Sugar did. When he became mayor, however, he didn't do much else, although there was a period of time when there was a tolerated zone for homeless people to sleep in what was then called the Back 40, and what is now the Page Smith Community House Project. It was held by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and there's a whole background to that. The point here is, however, that Don Lane is Catherine Beyer's man inside the Homeless Issues Task Force. He gets paid $20 an hour. That's the lion's share of the $10,000 appropriation that goes to this committee. And what he has been doing essentially has not been pushing very hard to get these items on the city council agenda to get them where they need to go. I opposed his being in this position to begin with because he was on the opposite side of the council elections last fall. He was supporting the downtown business candidates like Linda Steinau, who opposed ending the sleeping ban. And while people like Sugar and Crone supposedly favored decriminalizing things for homeless people and making life easier and allowing sleep to be a legal thing. So what was Catherine Byers doing, appointing essentially a political opponent to the current regime onto the Homeless Issues Task Force as the person who would eat up the lion's share of their money? Why, for example, wasn't it a homeless person or a formerly homeless person in that position? Well, after I shouted a bit and groaned and complained, and other people did, they appointed a second person, Laura Tucker, a homeless mom, actually no longer homeless, perhaps soon to be homeless, who has been homeless, as his assistant, Don Lane's assistant. And you'll hear her talking here, too. Laura Tucker is a staff person. She was originally on the task force. Now she's a staff person. She is only paid $5 an hour, while Lane gets $20 an hour. Want to call that gender discrimination or experience discrimination, or if you have the political clout discrimination, or maybe she's just the recorder. I mean, I always said there should be two formerly homeless people doing this. They should both get paid $10 an hour. They should just appropriate more money and give them a living wage. And that is, in fact, what the Homeless Issues Task Force voted. They said, please give priority to homeless people for staff and also give them a living wage. Of course, that one didn't even get to city council in any official or recognizable form. Finally, they allowed people to talk about it. They allowed Chair Linda LeMaster last month to bring it up, but only in a very special rarefied proclamation announcement, which city council members were not allowed to respond to and members of the public were not allowed to discuss. This was a month ago. And this is one of the reasons you'll hear the frustration of the Homeless Issues Task Force, because they have not been allowed to have any public exposure. Because the city council wants, and particularly Mayor Byers, and now apparently Mayor Sugar, wants to carefully monitor, control, and muffle the real debate, which has been raging in the Santa Cruz community for the last decade, around the human rights violations against the homeless in Santa Cruz. Again, you're listening to Don Lane, the staff member, and you will hear this endless bureaucratic concerns that he throws in, which tire me out to even hear.
You're not really identifying which parking, and I don't think you really mean all parking everywhere at any time, you know.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
Just some language that maybe zeroes in on that, you know.
Overnight parking.
Except in some places it would be appropriate to have overnight parking restrictions.
Well, it's not the clause about system enforcement of overnight parking and prohibition of sleeping.
Okay.
Laws. And
one way of putting it, it seems equally good, is to establish safe vehicular parking and sleeping zones as an imminent homeless safety issue, considering the increase in homeless beatings and the increasing shelter emergency this winter. I think it's important what Christine said, that this be made an imminent issue, because as most of us know, I wouldn't know if they're going to act on this, they probably won't. But I think bringing the issue is educational to the public, to them, it lets them know, yet again, that they need to see that they know that we're not going to forget they are. I mean, I think that's what's important.
Well, Tim Josh is in number four. Maybe some of that could be a preamble, like you discussed.
Sure, to me, just continue the bullying also.
Is there any more to discuss it? Thank you. Well, let's vote.
There's no other discussion?
Yeah,
And at this point, Peter Eberle, the Downtown Association representative, brings up the question of whether this violates the Brown Act, which requires prior notification of an important measure coming up. And you'll find the subsequent discussion finds, well, they've already passed something essentially identical to this earlier in the winter. Actually, the first thing that the Homeless Issues Task Force did, their first official resolution back in September, was urging immediate and complete repeal of the camping ban. Now, you've heard David Silva in this program talking about the sleeping ban. That's a section of the camping ordinance or camping ban, just a section. It just talks about the right to sleep, not the right to put up a tent or to be able to, say, start a fire in an appropriate place. No, it just says the right to sleep. But the Homeless Issues Task Force found as early as September that if there's no legal shelter for most people, those people have a right to shelter themselves and to take care of themselves. And so to ban them as broadly as the camping ordinance does under pain of $54 tickets, and indeed two instances within 24 hours of camping, if you don't break down your tent and move even in the rain if the police come, then you're subject to misdemeanor punishment of up to $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail. That was completely inappropriate, as was the fine, considering that the city has no legal places for most people to sleep. There is a officially declared, three, in fact, officially declared shelter emergencies. The earliest dating from 1990, continuing on, the next dating from 1995, and kind of an overlaying the 1991 and the most recent one, 1998, when the city officially acknowledged that it had an official shelter deficiency. So the fact that they acknowledge this and yet at the same time are instructing their police to go out and arrest and ticket people for sleeping and for camping is a blatant and vile contradiction. Ironic in the extreme, considering that a year ago Christopher Crone had the city council vote that sleeping was a human right. Thank you, Christopher Crone. But this is the same Crone who wouldn't say a word at the last council meeting about the right to sleep and wouldn't raise the issue in spite of strong demands from the supporters of these new council members, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, in the community's many call-ins. And I again urge you all to call in, even as you're listening by your radio. Put in a call to 420-5020. That's Mayor Sugar's office, and say, Mayor Sugar, we need a special session to do what you should have done on the 14th. Put the issue of the sleeping ban on the agenda. We don't expect you to win with it, but you got to go with it, because until you do, the soul of Santa Cruz is in hock. Again, we're listening to more of the discussion of the December 6th Homeless Issues Task Force, which produced the historic resolution unanimously urging the City Council to suspend the sleeping and camping bans until safe zones were established and to put that item on the agenda immediately and not wait for next year.
Well, really, you know, the problem is that, I mean, there is a lift from which, theoretically, you know, you were saying if we can kind of find a way to interpret this as an already recommendation of the shelter committee, then it would work. But which is not a reach because our recommendations already say that. So really, maybe the motion is to kind of needs to be reworded to kind of bring it into the context of these two things need to be pulled out of our recommendations and sent quickly now.
Okay, I would take that as a friendly amendment.
So basically, we're fast-tracking the 300 report we're doing.
Yeah.
Because of the... Well, we're going to go to other business.
That's what we're doing.
I see.
and he's bringing forth.
I thought you were already aware that there is. Okay.
And then other things.
I think that one thing that hasn't happened is.
Speaking now is Tom Nedelsky of the American Friends Society, who has in the past kept a fairly moderate, even conservative profile, in my estimation, on the Homeless Issues Task Force. Now, however, he speaks out in a somewhat more, I would say, forthright and militant voice. See what you think.
We haven't really gotten much wider public awareness of what this community has been doing, and I think that something like this might, if this became an article in the Sentinel as well, what it could do is sort of create a wider awareness in the community that this committee exists and that we are making some requests of the council to act, and you know, it might serve to be a something that'll produce an increased awareness.
And Thomas, other?
I just wanted to ask that I'm certain at this point what the actual content of the motion is.
Mm-hmm.
It could be restated, so
yeah.
I don't know what we're going to be voting on.
Okay, but to try to, the motion would be to put forward immediately, I love that word, immediately to the City Council a recommendation to, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have us ask the Council to suspend the enforcement of existing laws in the area of no parking and no sleeping that directly impact homeless people right now, in order to allow time for their effort to establish safe vehicular parking and sleeping zones. Because again, I got to advance the discussion. Right. Implementing these laws so that an alternative can be developed that the community would accept. I avoid that discussion, but I don't know if that's clear enough to get into the discussion.
Okay, well, hopefully we can discuss this in a couple minutes. Maybe we're ready to go now, I don't know. But you want that clear, Thomas? Okay.
I was making motions that I'm doing for
him. This is a good discussion. This is a highly
practical important sunset clause on
it. Are we still having discussion about it?
I'd like to have a discussion about it.
Okay. Yes.
It isn't the same, but we did, you even made the motion 2 weeks ago that was about two-thirds of what you had said. So it didn't tie the suspending the camping ban.
Yeah.
Because that was already done before that.
Right.
But the other two things you just said that are kind of the contents of this, we have actually written them.
And that was Christine Sippel asking that question, has the Homeless Issues Task Force done this before? They actually had originally called for the suspension of the whole camping ordinance, which includes the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance, and they had asked more recently that safe zones be established. But this was a combined motion that actually called for both and asked for it as an immediate response to the winter shelter crisis, the fact the council was leaving for recess, the fact the council had failed to respond to this in the past. These were the motivations involved. The the deaths of homeless people, five of them in the last 3 months at least, and the many, many beatings. Again, we're going to be hearing more of these beatings. I'm going to play you an interview with Joe Barker, who was beaten back in April, and then again beaten in late November, early December. Actually, I think it's early December. We're going to hear from him and from another man whose nose was broken, who I interviewed about a week ago. So all these things led the Homeless Issues Task Force to feel that though they had brought this sort of up in pieces before, now they had to bring it up immediately because the council had to be persuaded to at least discuss the issue publicly before it left for vacation. Of course, a futile hope, but nonetheless, an important one and an important prod to the city council. And hopefully, those of you out there will do a little prodding of your own by calling Mayor Sugar at 420-5020 and telling him to call a special session to put the Homeless Issue Task Force's emergency resolution onto that agenda and talk about it and do something about it, even if he's the only one at that session. Let's continue listening to the Homeless Issues Task Force.
I'd like to suggest that, you know, hardly any of our recommendations for the 3 months report request action right away. Maybe it asks for maybe this would be the one, because it's in your recommendation from your committee. Maybe this would be the one area where we would say, in the 3 months report, this is the thing that stands out that we really
And this is Lucy Kinmetzer, a writer and a local person on the Homeless Issues Task Force, whose son, Frank, was